What's up, fellas? It's the manhood. We're going to be talking about manhood stuff today. We talk about manhood stuff all the time, right? But we're talking about manhood stuff today. I'm glad you joined me for this episode. Listen, if you haven't already, wherever you listen, whatever platform you listen on, make sure to subscribe. And then also, leave a comment sometimes if you like the content or if you don't like it. Say something. You know, give me some feedback. Let me know how you're vibing with what I'm doing. Today in this episode, man, I wanna share with you guys something that I believe is really, really crucial. I believe it is crucial to what we men are trying to do with our lives, right? I think it's crucial for you to get to the next level in your life, whatever that is. All right. It's this idea of thinking you know more than you actually know. But let's get into it. So you know how it is like when you go to the doctor and, you know, you get checked out or whatever, and then they prescribe you medicine to take care of whatever issue it is that you know, brought them, right? And then you start taking the medicine, but when you start to feel good, you stop taking the medicine, right? That ever happened to anybody? You stop taking the medicine when it starts, it's working, okay. And then all of a sudden you feel better. The doctor said take it for 10 days, but around the sixth day, you start feeling better. So you don't take it those last 4 days, right? Well, let's say around the fourth day, you start feeling better. So you take it for two more days, and then the sixth day, then it's like, you know, I'm not taking that anymore. Well, it's not only with the doctor that happens. So it used to frustrate me. And I don't know why I said used to, because I guess it still does. It frustrates me when I'm working with a client, particularly, you know, a married couple or an individual. Like I could be working with a brother, right? But it frustrates me when we're doing work and I feel like, you know, we're making good progress, seeing some results, like things are changing for the better. And then all of a sudden they stop, right? They don't come back because it's the same idea of the thing that was hurting me. You've helped it stop hurting. But see, as the professional, I know there's more work that you need to do. But because you stop hurting or because that immediate pain stopped, you feel like, well, you know, I could probably work the rest out myself. That frustrates the blank out of me, right? It frustrates me. But here's the thing. I recently found myself on the other end of that frustration. Not that my therapist was frustrated with me, but I was behaving like, or I had been behaving like, the people that frustrate me. Right? Let me tell you what I mean. So I've been doing my own personal development work for years, right? I'm as a therapist, I was doing work. Now that I'm a coach, I'm still doing work. But I remember I did my first major bout of therapy sessions when I was around 41, right? That was when I did major therapy. And I realized all kinds of things about me. As a matter of fact, it was so interesting when I started to see that therapist. She was a young therapist, but she was good. And so I'm telling her about my childhood. She's asking me questions or whatever. And then at one point during the assessment period, she says, we got to do trauma work. And I'm like, say what now? Trauma? What do you mean trauma? Like my childhood was normal. Trauma. And like, I didn't understand. And at that time, I think I was a brand new therapist. So I didn't know much about, you know, who needs trauma and why, whatever. But she said, we need to do trauma work. And I disagreed because I'm like, oh, what we got to do trauma work on? I mean, I know my childhood wasn't great, but it's normal childhood, especially for black folk. But she said, we had to do trauma work. But we didn't do trauma work, but I did do a lot of other work. I worked on codependence and I worked on that for years. Right. And I'm probably still working on it. By the way, codependence is the psychological term for the layman's term of people pleasing, which is also the biblical term or the biblical phrase of the fear of man, right? All three of those can be used interchangeably at times. So I worked on codependence, but what I recently discovered in all of my years of work, right? That was what? This is 20, this is, this, I'm, that's like 11 years ago. What I discovered in all of my years of work, I'm still at a place where there are some things I haven't worked out that I should have, in my opinion, have worked out by now, right? Because of what I know. But what I'm discovering is what I tell my clients. Just because you know to do better doesn't mean you can do better. Perhaps there's something in your way to becoming the person that you want to become. And so, although you don't have the same pain as you had before, it doesn't mean that you're well. And you should not have stopped taking the medicine. Right. So what I did over the years, right, I didn't do any trauma work. But over the years, I've been a therapist. I may have had one therapist. The one I have now is the second one. I'm constantly reading books because I'm in this field. I have a little bit more insight than the average person. So I can read a book and get the content and use it how I need to. And so this was me, though, operating in my own wisdom until I got to a place in my life where I'm like, you know what? The stuff that I know and the things that I'm trying, it's not working. Let me find me another therapist. And so that's when I got the therapist that I have now, right? And it's been great. I've been, it was so interesting and eye-opening to me. I do not understand this phenomena. I just don't understand it. But as we are talking, as I'm talking to my therapist, he asks me questions that I normally ask my clients. And when he asks me these questions, it's so interesting that I respond the same way my clients do. So I have a little bit more compassion for my clients, by the way. Now I'm on this side of therapy because I hadn't done therapy in a while at this level. And so I applaud you guys. I mean, I have more empathy for you because when he asked me these questions, I didn't have answers for him. And it's so interesting to me. What's interesting about that is I do it to other people. So I know, for example, we was talking about people loving people when they, how can you love someone if you don't love yourself, right? We were talking about that. Now, I already know. I learned that 1 hour into my master's degree. I'm kidding, but everybody knows that, right? Well, I know it better than the average person because it's the work that I do. You don't love yourself, you can't love nobody else. But it was when he asked me the question about self-love and why my life looked a certain way. And I was like, huh? Wait a minute. Why couldn't I see that when I was, you know what I'm saying? That's why I believe, I understand so much better why Jesus said, before you tell your brother about the speck in their eye, get the 2x4 out of your eye. I understand it now because it is extremely difficult to see yourself how you truly are on a regular basis every day, right? Just in the natural, you walk around without seeing your face, right? Most of the day, you don't know what you look like. And most of us walk around with stuff on our face and we don't look in the mirror. But see, when it comes to relationships, your relationship and people, because not just your relationship, but people around you, those are mirrors. Just like if you was out in public and you didn't have a mirror and something was on your face, a person would say, hey, you got some green stuff on your face. That's a mirror. But it's also a mirror when your wife says, hey, you're getting upset about this piece of paper. Right? Pay attention to that. But anyway, so I'm talking about the, showing up one way, believing that you're something else. So I'm doing therapy and I'm thinking that I'm good. And then he started asking these questions. Well, not that I'm good, but when he asked these questions, it threw me off because they're simple questions. But apparently I had not thought deep enough about them, which I believe speaks to another thing. I don't know if I could have gotten there by myself, but here's the thing. And you guys need to know this too. This is not a part of my notes and what I wanted to share, but it definitely goes in here. When God said it's not good for man to be alone, the implications of that statement go far beyond making babies, right? We're not designed to do life alone. If I had all my answers, I wouldn't need God and I wouldn't need people. God not going to do that to us because he wants us to connect and relate to people, and he wants to connect and relate to him, right? So I believe that's one reason why we can be looking at ourselves and not able to see, and someone else can point it out. You'd be like, oh, dang, I didn't see that, right? So what you saw the title of this particular episode, Don't Be a Fool, Do the Work. That's my message to you. Don't be a fool, do the work. Now, I got that from Proverbs, right? Proverbs 26. I try to, whenever I'm teaching, whatever day that is that I'm actually teaching or recording, I try to use a proverb from that particular day. So I'm recording this on the 26th of December. I don't know when I'm going to post it. But I was looking at Proverbs 26 and 12 today. Let me tell you what Proverbs 26, what I said? Yeah. Proverbs 26 and 12. This is what it says. Nope, that's 12 and 12. 26 and 12. Proverbs 26 and 12. There's more hope for fools than for people who think they are wise. Really simple. There is more hope for fools than for people who think they are wise. In other words, you may think you're wise, but you're not. Why do you say there's more hope for fools? So what is a fool? A fool is someone who sees the truth, recognizes the truth, or should I say wisdom, because we're talking about fools and wisdom. A fool is someone who recognizes wisdom, but chooses to do the opposite. See, a fool is not fooled. Like, a fool is not tricked into thinking, I don't know if that's wisdom or not. No. What makes a fool is, I know that's wisdom, but I'm choosing to do something different. But here, Solomon says, there's more hope for someone who willfully decides to go against God's will than for someone who think that they are wise. Now, why is that? Because if you're going the wrong way and you don't know you're going the wrong way, you're going to hurt yourself. Right? You think you're wise and you're not. You think you know what you don't know. That's why I want to encourage you. Don't be a fool. Do the work. And so the work I'm encouraging you to do is your inner work. Because what I learned over the last couple of weeks about me and the work that I need to do, it kind of blew me away. Right? I would not have thought that I would be doing the work that I'm about to do, especially in light of all of the work that I've done. And guys, I'm saying that to really encourage you. I am a former therapist. I am currently a coach. I am committed to the practice of personal development. I am always self-examining. I'm always looking in the mirror. I don't say that as a, you know, like a, you know, like, hey, look at me, lift me up. I'm not saying it that way. I'm just telling you, I'm giving you context, right? I'm always looking in the mirror to see where I am and where God's line is, right? Or where I am and how to do something right. Like, I'm always looking in the mirror. And I still missed. As a matter of fact, not only do I look in the mirror often, I'm trained, right? Therapist and coach, I'm trained to not only look in the mirror, but help other folk look in their mirror. And I still missed what I'm about to share with you. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I don't want you to miss it. And fellas, let me get comfortable, because I want to make sure my voice is relaxed, make sure my voice is calm and soothing, whatever you need to hear me, because I need you to get this message. I'm telling you, I need you to get this message. You want to get this message. And this message, by the way, this message is more for, it's for all men. All right, it's for all men, but it is more for those of you who think you got your life together. It is more for you who think that you only got, I just got a little anger issue. Like, I ain't got no childhood stuff. I only have a few issues to work out. I don't have a whole lot of, I have a long list of stuff, right? I'm for those of you who think you're a simple man and don't a whole lot bother you and you don't need a whole lot from your wife, I'm talking to you. Because number one, you're probably fooling yourself. But number two, man, things are deeper than they may seem. So let me tell you this. It is a mistake for you to think that because your childhood wasn't obviously traumatic, that you don't have unresolved childhood issues. It is a mistake to think that just because you are doing well by the world standards, that you've overcome your childhood issues. And it is a mistake to decide to get help, but then you don't take all the medicine, right? You get help, but then you start feeling better and you stop. I want to encourage you, continue to do the work until you're done with it, right? Now, let me give you a little bit about how I got here, what happened to me, and then we'll talk briefly, and then I'll be done. So, like I said, I recently got a new therapist. Last week in talking to my therapist, what I discovered was, and I think, you know, we probably could have got here sooner, but he was thinking probably what I projected to him is that I don't need that much work, right? I mean, I'm good. Like, you know, I just need a little touch up. But now, finally, maybe like 5 weeks in, it's like, hey, you know what? This thing right here, this is not moving. So I'm thinking this is connected to something deeper. And he brought up the T word, trauma. So we start talking about my childhood again. And it's like, you've never done trauma work? And I'm like, nah. And when we got off the session, I started to think, because we was talking about parts and IFS. I don't think I've talked to you guys about parts. I'll do that later, right? But let me just give you a clue, context, so you won't be just, you know, in your head. Parts is this, it's a part of internal family systems. That's an approach to helping folk, right? IFS, and all of us have these multiple parts, kind of like multiple personalities. All of us have multiple personalities. There's different parts that are part of you, like all the voices you hear in your head with one voice. Picture the angels on the shoulder, right? You got an angel and the devil on the shoulder, right? That doesn't really happen, but those voices in your head, those are different parts. Okay, so I gave you more than I wanted to give you. Anyway, after my previous session, and I'm thinking about my different parts and how they're interacting with me and how they, you know, how I'm feeling, what I'm feeling in my marriage and how I'm feeling about my wife, right? And then I started paying attention to what my parts were really telling me that I needed from my wife. And when I started doing that, at the guidance of my counselor, my therapist, once I started doing that, I saw things differently. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, right? You got some different things going on. And so as I began to look at my life that way, I was like, you know what? All the work that I've done and all the work that I've done, and as much as I know, as a matter of fact, I've talked to my wife about this. I've talked to my wife. I've gone to my wife kind of like complaining, not to her, but, you know, like, why is it that I know so much about negative beliefs? I know so much about being in a sunken place and how to get out. Like, I have knowledge. But why isn't it working for me? And it was frustrating. So after that session, I began to think, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should do trauma work, because that's literally the only thing I hadn't tried. Like, it's trauma work is the only thing that I hadn't tried. Now, here's the main, I don't want you to miss this. This is the reason I'm talking to you about this. If I could take you back to my childhood, though it was not amazingly full of love and all that, you are not going to say, oh yeah, that's traumatic. It takes a therapist, because it's not obviously traumatic. Like, I wasn't beaten. I got regular whoopings, like regular black folk. I mean, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, right? So I got whoopings, but they was not, okay, once or twice I got a whooping with extension cord. But still, that's not the source of my trauma, right? My parents didn't talk crazy to me. They didn't talk down to me. So where did this trauma come from? The trauma comes from what I believe about me based on the interactions with my parents. In other words, it really comes from, for me, emotional neglect. Now, I've been knew that I was emotionally neglected. I think I may have known that before I was a therapist. But I know I grew up emotionally neglected. I didn't know that it would affect me the way that it has throughout my life. But furthermore, I did not know that it was trauma that I was experiencing. And it's the reason that I hadn't been able to get over, because I haven't done trauma work. Now, am I telling you that you need to do trauma work? Not necessarily, but if you do, go ahead, right? Not necessarily. What I am saying to you, though, is just because you feel like you're in your right mind and you're making good money, just because you don't feel like you're going through anxiety or depression right now, don't trick yourself into believing that you are better than you actually are. You need to take your mental and emotional health seriously. Not only take it seriously, but do the work that you don't think you need to do. Like, seriously, do the work that you don't think you need to do. Because so even if you don't feel like, even if I didn't have a traumatic childhood, okay, great. Don't believe that you escaped childhood unscathed, but watch this. Even if you did, it's not going to hurt you to check, because you could be self-sabotaging your life and unaware. You can be, you could be setting off landmines in your life and don't even know it, right? You need to know what's going on inside. You don't just have anger issues. You don't just have gossip issues. It's not that you're just an oversharer. Okay? It's not just that you have boundary issues. It may be something deeper going on. And I can tell you from experience, for me, it's been one of the most frustrating things, because for the most part, I'm fine. But every now and then, when my exiles get triggered and I'm in the sunken place, I can't get out. It's like, how'd I get stuck down here? And then here's what I discovered. So let me just tell you this, because I want to give you an overview to make sure you're getting the message that I'm trying to get to you. Don't trick yourself into thinking that you're more healthy than you are, right? Don't trick yourself into thinking that you have emotional health that you don't have, okay? If you know that you have, like, do the work, okay? Because you will trick yourself into thinking that you know what you don't know. You'll trick yourself into thinking it don't take all that. It's not that serious. It's not that deep, because of what you believe. But you got to realize you only know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Watch this. Not only have I been unable to push past this particular issue by myself, because I'm discovering I need a different kind of work, but also here, I had tricked myself into thinking that I was better than I was. I learned yesterday. And so this is what I told God. I said, Lord, I realize I'm not as holy as I thought I was. I'm not as holy as I thought I was. So yesterday, Christmas Day, actually, it was the day before Christmas. The day before Christmas, I didn't have any clients. Christmas Eve, I didn't have any clients. So I didn't take I take Adderall, right, for attention deficit stuff. I didn't take any Adderall on Christmas Eve. And when I didn't take the Adderall, when I tell you, it was an onslaught of negative thoughts, beliefs, attacks on me, and negative thoughts about my wife. I hadn't had thoughts like that in I don't know how long. I thought God had delivered me. I thought I had matured. I thought, man, God is moving in mysterious ways. When in reality, I was on drugs and I was not holy. It was the Adderall. Because as soon as I didn't take it, them thoughts were sitting right there waiting for me. Hello, how you doing? We've been waiting on you. We got a party. It's called a pity. We ordered this giant cake for you. It got 16 candles for you. It smelled good. Why don't you sit down and eat? But this time, I had something for them. When I was at the pity party this time, though, I didn't participate in the pity. I actually sat back. And I watched my parts participate in the pity party. So then I can observe and take notes. And then that's what made me realize, you may need deeper work than you've previously done, and you're not as holy as you thought. That medicine tricked you into believing that you can handle what you can't handle. And doesn't that happen in our life sometimes? Money will do that to you. You get some money and you'll think you're something that you're not. But if you don't trust God, life will remind you soon. Hey, that's not you. Right. But listen, I want you guys to do the work. Even doing the work is worth it, even if you don't think you need it. Right. Don't settle for this is just how I am. Don't settle for I've always been this way. You don't have to stay that way. And I'm telling you, it's your life, man. Why am I do all that? Like, you know, I'm fine. I don't feel like doing it. OK. It's your life. You're the only one that has to live it. Nobody else on the planet. But I want to encourage you. As a matter of fact, if your life is not twisted, or should I say obviously twisted, then this is the time to get the work done. Right. So you can kind of do it at your own pace and you're not rushed because there's an emergency, like your life is not on fire. But man, and there's so many. Look, I'm trying to knock down all the barriers for you to get the help. We live in a day and age now in 2024, going into 25. This culture now, it's a therapy friendly area. It's a therapy friendly, not season. What am I trying to say? Dispensation. That's all. That's real churchy. It's one of those kind of dispensations. I can't think of the word I'm trying to use, but we live. So listen, do the work, man. So that the best gift, that you could ever give God, the best gift you could ever give your wife, the best gift you could ever give your children, and the best gift you could ever give the world is a better you, period, point blank. Now, I know we got some Christian folk to say, you know, the Bible never said nothing about, you know, becoming your best self and, you know, becoming your authentic self. And they try to, you know, like downplay, you know, as if, well, they didn't tell you about no car either. Well, where's your chariot? Why are you in Bible? Why do you go to Sunday school? That ain't in the Bible. Right? Well, why do you have electricity? That's not in the Bible. Folk want to make a doctrine out of everything. Listen, if it's not up to us to make our life great, then how do you explain? I'm going to go to Genesis and then Revelation. And y'all research the stuff in between. Genesis, God said, be fruitful and multiply. God ain't doing that. Being fruitful and multiplying is about better. Yeah, children, right? But we got to multiply and produce other stuff. But I take you all the way. If that didn't work, I take you to Revelation. Here's what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea. I know your deeds. And you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you was one of them. Like, I wish you would make up your mind. Either serve me or serve the devil. But because you're lukewarm, because you're average, because you're mediocre, because you're stuck in the middle, you make me want to throw up. I want to spit you out of my mouth. You hear what I'm saying? So if God is going to, like, save us and then live our lives for us to be great, then how did I end up lukewarm? Or how did they end up lukewarm? Because it's up to you, right? Don't let the enemy trick you into thinking that you get saved and now God is just gonna, you know, make your life great. No. He gave you the ability and the Holy Spirit to make your life great. Okay? But you got to do the work. Right. The things that happen to you in your childhood. And I'm talking to the folk who know that they need work. The things that happen to you, it wasn't to destroy you, because if it was, you would be destroyed. How many know that God knows how to destroy people? Right. You'd be destroyed. That wasn't the purpose. Now, that may have been the enemy's plan. That ain't got nothing to do with you. His plan didn't work. God's plan for you is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope in the future. Right. So if you made it through your childhood, there's something God wants you to do. But God does want you to use that to bless others. But you can't do that because you're still using that to punish you. You're still using your negative beliefs about you to punish and limit your life. God wants you to take that stuff from the past that's no longer happening to you and use it as fuel for the future, for the kingdom. Now, I hope that my message was clear enough and I wasn't stumbling over my words too much to where you get the message. You have to do the work, because if you don't do the work won't get done. If the work don't get done, you suffer. The best gift, I was telling you, the best gift that you could ever give everyone in your life, including the including society, is a better you. A better you makes a better us. A better you makes a better y'all. A better you makes a better them, talking about your children, right? Don't be selfish. It's selfish. It is selfish of you. Every brother listening to me, it is selfish of you to not look in the mirror and try to become everything that God has called you to become, and for you to develop everything that God has put in you, because he didn't put it in you for you. It's for someone else. God is trying to make you the answer to somebody else's prayer. But you're dragging your feet because you want to grow at your own pace, or you don't want to grow at all. Nothing's wrong with me. I mean, that's just my ankle been sore for 7 years, right? What? Listen, go get that check. And when I say ankle, I don't mean really your ankle, but something in your life you've been dealing with for years. And you thought, well, that's just me. It doesn't have to be. That's who you've learned to be. That's not who God created you to be. Okay. All right. You guys, I talked to y'all in the new year. And let me say this. I apologize. I did not do after church series this week, this past Sunday. I didn't do that. But you got this one, right? It's not an after church series, but I really hope that you take heed to what I'm saying, fellas, like for real, like find you somebody to work with and get your life together. All right. And y'all take care.